We will be reading first in English and then in Spanish and thinking about this missions chapel. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left.
Cuando el Hijo del Hombre venga en su gloria con todos sus ángeles, se sentará en su trono glorioso. Todas las naciones se reunirán delante de él, y él separará a unos de otros, como separa el pastor las ovejas de las cabras. Pondrá las ovejas a su derecha y las cabras a su izquierda.
Then the king will say to those on the right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me."
Entonces dirá el rey a los que están a su derecha, "Vengan ustedes, a quienes mi Padre ha bendecido. Reciban su herencia, el reino preparado para ustedes desde la creación del mundo. Porque tuve hambre y me dieron de comer. Tuve sed y me dieron de beber. Fui forastero y me dieron alojamiento. Necesité ropa y me vistieron. Estuve enfermo y me atendieron. Estuve en la cárcel y me visitaron."
Then these righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison or visit you?" And the king will tell them, "I assure you, when you did it to one of the least of these my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me."
Y le contestarán los justos, "Señor, ¿cuándo te vimos hambriento y te alimentamos? ¿O sediento y te dimos de beber? ¿Cuándo te vimos como forastero y te dimos alojamiento? ¿O necesitado de ropa y te vestimos? ¿Cuándo te vimos enfermo o en la cárcel y te visitamos?" El rey les responderá, "Les aseguro, todo lo que hicieron por uno de mis hermanos, aún por el más pequeño, lo hicieron por mí."
Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, "Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me no clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me."
Luego dirá a los que están a su izquierda, "Apártense de mí, malditos, al fuego eterno preparado para el diablo y sus ángeles. Porque tuve hambre, y ustedes no me dieron nada de comer. Tuve sed, y no me dieron nada de beber. Fui forastero, y no me dieron alojamiento. Necesité ropa, y no me vistieron. Estuve enfermo y en la cárcel y no me atendieron."
Then they will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you?" And he will answer, "I assure you, when you refused to help the least of these my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but their righteous will go into eternal life.
Ellos también le contestarán, "Señor, ¿cuándo te vimos hambriento o sediento, o como forastero o necesitado de ropa, o enfermo o en la cárcel, y no te ayudamos?" Él les responderá, "Les aseguro que todo lo que hicieron por el más pequeño de mis hermanos, tampoco lo hicieron por mí. Aquellos irán al castigo eterno y los justos a la vida eterna. Palabra de Dios para el pueblo de Dios. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. If you haven't figured it out yet, this morning is our summer missions chapel, and honestly, it's one of my favorites. For those of you who I haven't gotten the chance to meet, I'll let you know what my name is. I'm Joy Ireland, and I'm the assistant director of campus ministries here on campus. And one of the areas of ministry that I get a chance to kind of walk really close to, which I really appreciate, is outreach. Missions, things like that. So that's why I get the privilege of being up here, and I'm going to be interviewing some of your peers today regarding their summer missions experiences in just a few minutes. The theme for today comes from the scripture that was read. Thank you, Randy and Rachel Coleman, for reading that for us. You did it unto me, or you did it to me. And we could spend, I'm sure you've heard whole sermons on that passage. We could spend a whole lot of time talking about it. But the one thing that I really want to let you guys see today, and hopefully you do see through the stories of your peers, is that that scripture implies engagement. Engagement with people. Isn't that interesting that just like Denef showed us when he was here, he mentioned this passage and he had no idea we were going to go here at all. But the reality is both the righteous and the unrighteous had no clue, really, where Jesus was or what they were doing for him. But the difference was that the righteous did engage socially, spiritually, in lots of different ways. And this week, actually, we'll also be hearing about the political engagement. It's a great thing. This week, we're melding Summer Missions Chapel in with our Political Awareness Week. And I'm so grateful to Dr. Gray and to others who have allowed for us to do that, because engagement needs to come in lots of different ways, wherever God has called you to. So this morning, we're going to hear from your peers who have gone to various places. And later in the week, Wednesday and Thursday, we will hear from two gentlemen who are engaging the political arena with their faith in real bold, courageous ways. Just a quick announcement. We also have our missions info bash today, which is going to be in front of the cafeteria, and it'll be an opportunity for you to begin to learn about the mission trips for some of our local agencies in town, what they're going to be offering for Christmas break, spring break, and summer break. So I encourage you, you have to go over to lunch, I'm assuming, at some point anyway. Stop by those tables and see what's going on this week, or this year, I should say, with missions. Will you pray with me, please? Jesus, thank you so very much for this opportunity to hear from our friends, our peers, what you are doing in the world and how you use them, the faces and the people that you've allowed for them to meet. Lord, thanks for the video that we're going to be able to see here in just a moment too, that will give us a picture and a reminder of all those faces, all those real people that you called us to this summer. We give you thanks, Jesus, again, for the opportunity. Lord, would you stretch our hearts, and perhaps even, Lord, there'd be those who you would call even this day as they're listening. We want our ears to be open to you, Lord. Help us to see deeper than what our visual eyes can see. Help us to hear deeper than our ears are able to hear, that we might be in line with your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in your name. Amen. We want to say thanks. If you guys will join me in thanking a certain person, Mr. Nathan Wagner. What we see in about 5.5, 6 minutes took a whole lot of time and preparation and receiving all your photos. So Nathan, I know you're back there, and we thank you very much. Well, as I mentioned to you, these are your peers, and I know that there are tons of people out there who could be sitting in this place. This is one of the hardest things of my job every year. Who is going to be up here sitting and speaking and talking about their times? So I understand that as we're hearing their stories, we're hearing a lot of yours as well. I'm going to ask each one of them first to introduce themselves, to tell us what class they're a part of. Feel free to cheer if you'd like. And what organizations or type of ministry, just kind of a brief synopsis of what they did this summer.
I'm Lori Galambos, and I'm part of the Unashamed class. And I went to India with Friendship Center India and worked in an orphanage over the summer.
I'm Stephen Brooks, part of the Consecrated class. I had an opportunity, to go to Colombia, and I had an internship with a drug cartel. No, really. I was working with a group called Operación Reconciliación, who they teach in schools, teach character and leadership and things like that.
I'm Taylor Darden, and I'm a member of the Unashamed class. And I had the awesome opportunity this summer to be a member of CAST, the Creative Arts Service Team, which is a ministry done by the Salvation Army, which I performed in the play Godspell and toured all over the country and wore this costume from head to toe.
Hello. My name is Jessica Ruprecht, and I'm a part of the Unashamed class. This summer, I had the blessing and privilege to go to Kenya, and I went with World Gospel Mission as a VIA, a part of the trip they helped me organize and set up, so it was a really great time.
Awesome, thank you. We have a lot of unashamed representation today. Well, I'm going to ask each of these students here a question, and the reality is, again, they answered every question for me in an email, but for time's sake, we can't have them answer every single one of them. So each of them is going to answer one of the questions, and then we'll move on. We've got four people, so we've got four questions. Lori's going to start us off. Lori, what did your time and service in India teach you about yourself, and what did your time and service in India teach you about God?
My time in India was a huge struggle for me because God showed me how prideful I am and just how ethnocentric I am. And so it was a time for God to point out in me where I need to improve. But God gave me such an amazing vision of himself. It was difficult because it all culminated when I went to a slum with the pastor. And as I was taking it all in, I was a bit overwhelmed by the poverty that was around me. The pastor turned to me and said, "Lori, will you pray for them?" And let me tell you, in that moment, I didn't want to pray for those people. I don't know if you've ever had an experience like that when people ask you to pray for someone. And as Christians, you'd think we would want to pray for someone who's in need. But in that moment, I didn't want to pray for them. And I just thought, God, these people are going to be here tomorrow. They're going to be hungry tomorrow. There's still going to be rats in this shack that they've built. And I was just struck. And the whole time I was there, I was wrestling with God. I was just witnessing all this injustice and corruption and poverty around me. And it shook me up. And God said, "Lori, who is the God that you serve?" And I had to stop and think, who is my God? And God showed me that he is a God of power. Our God is a God of grace and mercy and hope. And our God has something to offer people. And he showed me that in that moment when I didn't want to pray for someone, he said, "Lori, I'm so much bigger than that. I'm so much bigger than that. I'm a God who raised your Lord and Savior from the grave." Amen? Mm-hmm. Our God is that powerful. Our God is a God of hope. And God really opened my eyes to see that this world is not what it's all about. Yes, there's poverty and injustice, but there will be a day when our God comes back and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And no one can tell you that our God is a God of power. But I want to challenge you, who is your God? Can you go to a place like India, or can you walk down the streets of Lexington and see the poverty around you and still believe in a God of hope and a God of love? And let me tell you, if you don't know who the God you serve is, no one's going to want your God. No one wants a powerless God. You got to know him. So that's what God was working in my heart while I was in India.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you so much for sharing. Stephen, how did God's presence surprise you while you were in Colombia?
Well, I think it had to do with the church that was there. And maybe I should give a little bit of a preface by saying I do come from a Free Methodist background. And the church services, as many of you probably know, in Free Methodist churches tend to be very methodical. You know, very orderly, structured, you know, not chaotic in any way. And the singing especially is what stood out to me is that, you know, we tend to sing with our mouths only and nothing else. Well, I don't get caught up in debates. I'm not into that about, you know, worship styles and that kind of thing. It was just what was normal for me. Coming to Asbury, the chapel services at times have been challenging to me in that regards. But when I went to Columbia, they were a lot, ever so much more so. they, you know, very much farther along that line. And it's just, I think it's really a cultural thing that I began to see there. Their whole culture is just a lot more energetic, active, and just passionate than maybe the American culture is here. And so, anyway, but that was a challenge for me, was to just see that they were, there were people actually worshiping there, and, you know, definitely that were worshiping in a way very different from what I was used to myself. And I think what God began to teach me through that was, I mean, I saw, for instance, I was in services that were, you know, just extremely much more radical and much more, you know, moving and emotional than what I'm used to. And yet I still saw people who were worshiping, and I saw people who I didn't think were worshiping. And so I guess to me what that drove home and what God showed me there is that our surroundings really don't influence our worship, the realness of our reality of our worship, in a very drastic way. It's really a position of our heart. And whether we are, you know, waving our hands and dancing because we get excited about the music and we're responding as if at a rock concert, you know, we're just excited about it. And if that's our style, or if we're not doing those things just because we don't like, want to look like the people who do, you know, either way, I think there is a lot of potential for false worship. And where the real worship that I saw, I mean, I've seen here, you know, I've seen in very laid back or very reserved services, and also in very, you know, energetic and emotional services, is a position of the heart. And that was a challenge that God gave to me. And it kind of surprised me just to see that there is that difference. And it's definitely possible to worship in both. One maybe is easier for me, but it's because it's a position of my heart. That's what I have to learn to look for, is my position before God, not before other people.
Jessica, name one person in whom you saw Jesus while you were in Kenya. What was it about this particular person that exuded Christ's presence so evidently?
While I was in Kenya, I met a lady named Emmy, and she worked at Tenwick Community Health and Development. Tenwick Community Health and Development program was all about meeting the needs of people, not just treating the symptoms. Tenwick Hospital, which has been there for many years, treated many symptoms that could have been prevented, and like through malaria and just needing mosquito nets, for example. And so Emmy worked in this Tenwick Community Health and Development to go out into the community and address physical needs that were not being met, to educate people, to bring mosquito nets into the area, to work on water projects so that people weren't getting the bacteria, that through simple processes they could eliminate these diseases from their body. So not only did she work in a very physical way through Tenwick Community Development, she also worked in a spiritual way. Tenwick has several departments that addresses the needs in the community of Kenya and in the region that the hospital is at. And one of the departments, one of their emphases is the church. As a Christian organization, they see the church as a living body amongst the community who have networks and resources and who are able to help meet the needs in that region. And so on a Sunday, several Sundays, we took a trip out to an award one of the members of the congregation with a certificate of education about HIV and AIDS. But also while we were there, Emmy spoke and shared a sermon with the congregation. And the passage that she used was actually our passage today. It was from Matthew 25:31, and through the end of the chapter, where it talks about Jesus and his desire for us to meet the needs in the community, the physical needs and the spiritual needs, that when he was without clothing or without food or without water, we as the Christian body, we're called to help meet those needs. And so here I am, an American, listening to this Kenyan lady speak to a congregation at a dirt-packed floor in a building that you can see through the cracks in the plywood, who's talking to a congregation, half of whom are children who possibly lost their parents to AIDS. And yet she's challenging them to reach the needs in the community, to be the body of Christ. And it was really difficult for me to listen to that, because I just kept thinking, how much more am I responsible for the physical resources that Christ has given me? And just like the parable of the talents, look at all the resources that I have, that we as a country have. And are we using those resources to meet the needs of the people of our own body? You know, we're supposed to be one body. And just because we're removed from those situations doesn't relieve us of the responsibility of feeding Christ, of clothing Christ, and of just being one with one another. And so that was really challenging to me. But it was also encouraging to me to see the church at work there. And so I've been encouraged and challenged in the way that I use my resources, and in generosity and being willing to give things sacrificially. Thank you.
Our last question is going to go to Taylor. Taylor, what were some practical needs God used you to meet this summer, and how have those tasks affected your spiritual journey?
That's such an interesting question, given the nature of the work that I did, because I was an actor, first and foremost, in a production of Godspell. Those of you who were here last year, chances are good you saw Asbury's production of Godspell. I wasn't a part of that production, but I was a part of the one this summer where I played John the Baptist. And the word practical is a very interesting word, because as an artist of any sort, whether it's performing or visual art or whatever, it's sometimes hard to feel like what you're doing is meeting any practical need. You sort of think, this is a little frivolous. It costs money to put on, and generally in this sort of work costs more to put on than it makes. And so I was really praying over the summer that God would just give me a chance to see a purpose in what I was doing, and a way to really affect people. And I did. One of those ways was, in addition to our performance duties, we taught arts camps at various Salvation Army camps throughout the territory. And these were not exactly the kind of kids that were just begging their whole day long to be taught drama or be taught anything for that matter. Most of them came from very rough backgrounds, and they were basically put here to stay off the streets and to learn something productive. And I don't even really, like, children aren't exactly my favorite people in the world. There's nothing against them. They're great. I don't do well as much with them. So it was really neat to be thrust into this position of leadership and teaching drama classes to 6, 7, and 8-year-olds. Yes. They were difficult at times. They drove me up the wall and down again sometimes. But at the same time, I really learned a lot about people who come from more difficult backgrounds than I have, maybe, and ways that you can still bring the joy of the Lord out in them. There's this one little boy named Logan who we gave the award for our class for. And as he ran up on stage, the look on his face was absolutely priceless. He ran back, gave me this big hug. He's like, I'm going to be a famous actor. I'm like, go for it. And that was just one way with the teaching. But then the performance itself actually met some needs in people, I truly believe. Because we performed the show 20 times in 20 different locations. And we would have people come up to us. Like, this one woman came up to me and she said, You all look like you really believe what you were just acting about. And I said, well, actually we do. Funny you should mention that. And it opened a chance for me to share the gospel. And it was also great. Our final performance, there was a woman there who had apparently been through a lot in her life. And as the performance ended, as we hit our curtain call, and it was a very emotional moment for all of us because it was our last show, we had a chance for the audience to say what they thought about the show. And they gave her the mic and she said, with tears streaming down her cheeks, "The Lord really healed a lot in me in that performance. I don't think I've ever wanted to follow him as closely as I do right now because of the performance that I just saw." And so that's really neat to see that a way that, you know, perhaps I'm not working in a hospital and saving people with terrible illnesses, but I still have a chance to do God's work, and I'm very thankful for that.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope what you all have seen is that really serving and mission, you'll hear that word a lot. Mission is one of our four cornerstones. It's not about comparison, you know. This Bible Theo major can do a lot more than I can as a theater performance major. Or, you know, that Christian ministries major, wow, she's got it made, but I don't know exactly what I'm going to do with my history major. I hope you've heard that it really, the location, the major, yes, it matters because you want to be following God, but it doesn't matter in a sense of a comparison. You can listen to God. You can obey him. He can use you and teach you these lessons about pride, about humility, about worship, and broaden your perspective in all those ways, and redefine what practical means. He can do that for you, no matter where you are. I encourage you this week, engage in what's going on around campus. Engage in these summer mission opportunities that are going to be out there in a little bit. Engage with our speakers that will be here this week, who will be talking about their deep connection, their convicted connection with the link between faith and politics and the various talkback sessions and panels that will be taking place. Who knows how God will use you in these various areas and beyond that, because he's bigger and larger than what we can put together in a week. Will you pray with me, please? Jesus, thank you so very much once again for this opportunity that we've come together to worship you corporately. And thank you for the opportunity that we've had. We get a lot of chances during chapel to worship you with our ears, with our hearing, because you put in front of us so many amazing people who are out there serving you in so many different ways. Thank you for the word today about what true worship looks like. Learned on the field in Colombia. It's about the heart. Thank you for the word about our pride, our ethnocentrism. Perhaps we know that, but perhaps we haven't met the depth of that, as was met in India this summer. Thank you for the needs, the words of one named Emmy, who is called by you and passionate for you in Kenya, despite her surroundings even. May we be may we be like that in our particular areas. Thank you for using theater this summer and for stretching actors and for touching those out in these various camps, for healing through God's spell. Thank you for the stories that are represented in this room. And Lord, I pray, as we've seen so many faces on this DVD, that you would help us to remember to pray, to lift up, to follow you, to serve you with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, here during our Asbury time. We're yours, Lord. And if we don't believe that, help us to get there. We pray these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen. You are dismissed.